responsibilities and duties to them. I pick up another rock and throw it harder this time. For an instant, it's a dark speck against the silver of the moon, and I keep my eyes there, hoping for guidance, for answers. But there aren't any. Just the crash of the waves, and the crash of the questions in my head.
Chapter 12. Hannah. I wake up with a moan, my eyes fluttering open as I hear bells going off from somewhere in the house. My back feels like iron rods have been shoved up my ass from the physical activity yesterday. My muscles cry out at even the thought of having to do more work. Dancing is one thing, but the Hawaiian dancing used muscles I didn't know I had. Never mind the hundreds of pulls on the bowstring. Someone kill me now, I groan, not wanting to get up. It doesn't help that I didn't get a good night's sleep. I spent all night tossing and turning, my dreams of Tony interrupting me every time I started to drift off. He seemed like a presumptive ass at the wedding, but maybe I had him wrong. Yesterday, he was the perfect blend of cocky flirting and seemingly honest intensity to pierce past all my defenses. And the way I opened up to him and he kissed me. Ugh. It's exactly what I said I wasn't going to do, get drawn into another guy. Especially one like Tony, whom I have both history with and am competing against. If we lose this, and by some miracle the division doesn't shut down, Myra will fire me in a hot minute if she finds out my mind may have been on Tony's affections, and not the task at hand. I have to keep my eye on the prize. Besides, who knows if his intentions are genuine? He could be playing me like I did him at first. Morning, sleepyhead, Cassie says cheerfully from her bed. Hair crazy and sticking out in all directions, she sits up, stretching before she lets loose with a jaw-cracking yawn. Have some good dreams? I heard you over there grunting in your sleep. I think your exact words were, oh, fuck me, Tony, fuck me, make me your big booty hoe. I snort, my worry immediately disappearing at those last words. She's just fucking with me. Never gonna happen, I lie. I'm just sore. Tell me about it. I never thought shaking my ass could make me this sore, Cassie grumbles. She lets loose another yawn and rolls out of bed, bending over to touch her toes and unleashing another series of firecracker pops. But you know what? I'm kinda glad Wesley wants to hold us hostage. Everyone here is growing on me. She said as much last night. I feel the same way. I'm beginning to think... There's a gentle knock at our door, and Alani comes in with our laundry from last night. Good morning, ladies. I thought you could put these away. I also have things that... Alani starts forward but trips over Cassie's bags, which she left near the door. The bags tumble to the floor, and a large object thunks as it rolls across the floor. I don't know her, I deadpan to Alani immediately when I see a big vibrator roll across the floor. I swear, I was practically forced to bring her along. Oh, please, Cassie half yells, rushing over to pick it up. This is Hannah's. She forced me to put it in my bags because she gets embarrassed. Why didn't you just leave it at home, then, Stop lying, I hiss, before that damn bird hears you. Alani laughs, not paying us any mind. Breakfast is ready and waiting. Then Wesley wants you to meet up for the next challenge. I get dressed quickly, something comfortable. Just shorts and a tank top with a pair of those water shoe things that Alani gave us. I grab my camera, just in case, and I'm ready. Looking up, I see Cassie's dressed the same, except that her top is slightly tighter, and she has her red bandana around her wrist this time. Let's go kick ass! After a quick breakfast, Alani leads us across the main road and through the jungle to the base of the large hill that dominates the terrain behind Wesley's estate. As we do, I hear falling water, and we emerge from our trail to an absolute paradise. The water plunges down the side of the mountain, breaking up on outcropping rocks along the way to fall into a pool that's so deep it looks black as I stare into the depths, even though it's crystal clear. Broadleaf trees and bushes surround the oasis, and with my thoughts so obsessed with Tony, all I can think of is a romantic moonlight interlude with him here, especially on the edge of the pool, where there's a natural shelf that would be just right for him to fuck me. Damn it! Get your head right! I grunt at my own advice. I need to start coming up with a game plan to win. They're ahead and there's no prize for second here. Wesley, Caleb, and Tony are waiting for us at the foot of the waterfall, and as we approach, it feels amazing, a light shower of mist cooling the air. As usual, Momo is perched on Wes's shoulders, earning a glare from me. I hope Tony's not trying to tease me. It's working, even if he isn't. He's shirtless and wearing the shorts that he had on last night, the ones that do little to hide what's underneath. I can't help it. I start to stare at him unconsciously. He gives me a smile and my skin flushes, realizing I'm looking at him like he's a juicy piece of meat. To throw him off, I raise my camera and snap a trio of pictures of him against the backdrop of the waterfall, the whole time promising myself they're just for gamesmanship and not personal gratification.
Good morning, Wesley says. To be ready to take over my estate, you will need to challenge your strength, but most importantly, your spirit. Your next challenge is a hike up the mountain to the top of the falls. At the top, there's a type of blue rose that grows nowhere else in Hawaii. I planted it there myself when Alani and I married. You will retrieve a single flower each.
Okay. Just let me stretch my legs for the ass-kicking I'm about to give you boys, Cassie says. Tony smirks, and I feel another flutter in my chest.
When you're ready,
Cassie grumbles, but gives Wesley a nod, who drops his hand.
Go!
The path is clear and well-marked, and we start marching up the mountainside. As we do, I'm enveloped in the wonderful beauty of the forest, listening as small creatures move from tree to tree. It's not scary, but enchanting, and I love the feeling of the dappled sun on my shoulders. There's a small stream that mirrors the path, and part of me wants to just sit down on a nearby rock and relish the peace and quiet all around me. I can't, though. We need a win here, no matter what. Looking ahead, I see Tony, his muscles in his back, ass, and legs rippling as he strides ahead, slowly gaining distance on me. I want to ignore what the sight of his clenching glutes does to me as I think of how he could drive his huge cock deep inside me. But it's difficult when he's right in front of me.
Shit, this is rough,
Cassie says, wiping at her sweaty forehead. She's trying her best, but already the guys are way ahead of us. It's not her fault she's short and their strides are making more of a difference.
I don't know how we can possibly win this damn thing. Not unless they are too colorblind to figure out what a blue rose looks like.
I'm already thinking out a plan, I rasp. You gotta be ready.
What? What kind of plan?
I whisper quickly to Cassie.
I'm thinking about pretending to be hurt.
Ow!
Cassie cries, her ankle twisting as she falls to the ground.
It hurts! Fuck my ass! It hurts!
I kneel down next to her, trying to move her ankle, and she screams louder.
Damn it, Cassie, I wanted a fake fall, not a real one. It was an accident,
Cassie says, but even as she does, I hear movement on the trail. The guys are coming back, and below us, I hear Wesley hurrying up to our position.
Hurts,
Momo repeats, squeaking and beating its wings when Wesley arrives.
Fuck my ass, it hurts!
Are you all right? I say, ignoring the squawking bird. I feel bad for Cassie, and I feel even worse knowing this was just what I'd planned to pretend had happened. That would have been fucking low.
What happened?
Tony asks as the guys come back, both of them sweating. Tony looks at the whimpering Cassie with concern.
She fell and twisted her ankle,
I say, feeling guilty that I'm just a tiny bit jealous of the worry in his face. Seriously, why the hell should I feel that way?
Let me see,
Wesley says with concern. Cassie whimpers as he checks her ankle.
You've got a sprain. It doesn't look so bad, but you should probably stay off it.
Tony and Caleb reach down, helping Cassie to her feet.
I think I can make it,
she says bravely, attempting to walk, but with every step she winces a little bit. Finally, she looks up, tears in her eyes.
I'm sorry, but I don't think I can make the hike.
Wesley looks disappointed, but he nods.
Don't worry. It happens.
What do we do? Do we all go back down?
Tony asks, looking at me and Wesley.
Just go on without me, Cassie tells him. I'll go down slowly. I'll be fine.
No, I'll take you down, Caleb says. But don't get too used to it.
With little effort, Caleb picks Cassie up and tosses her onto his back like a backpack. Cassie grins, running her hands over Caleb's arms and shoulders. Ooh, I need this for the rest of our stay. Let's go, horsey, she says, kicking him lightly in the ass with her good foot. Giddy up.
Don't make me drop you, Caleb threatens. And for your information, I'm no horse, even if I am built like one from the waist down. I will join you for the rest of the way up the mountain, Wes says, cutting in as we watch Caleb and Cassie make their way back. Let's resume, shall we?
We start up the trail again, and I find myself focusing on the scenery. I have to. Tony starts striding ahead more and more, and even as I push harder, my legs and my lungs burn. Still, even as it hurts, I'm swept away by the beauty as we climb higher and higher, emerging at the top to find a clear plateau that is windswept and clear. Tony's ahead of me, but I still stop, what little breath I have left taken away. It's like I'm on the top of the world, I whisper, looking up at the clear sky, the green grass all around me, and the ocean off in the distance. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Wesley clears his throat, and I hurry, reaching the rosebush just as Tony clips a single flower off and hands it to Wesley. Wesley turns to me, and I bite my lip before shaking my head. No offense, but we're all here. I might as well leave the flower on the bush. They're beautiful, and I don't want to clip them. Wesley nods.
I'm going to head back down and check on Cassie. You two stay if you want. If you're not back by lunch, I'll come and find you. I'll announce the winner then.
He leaves, and Tony and I look at each other, not sure what to say. The land is beautiful, and eventually, we just walk together into the shaded forest that borders the clearing. Following the sound of more water, we find another mountain pool where we sit down, soaking our bare feet. I wonder if Caleb is still alive, I say, breaking the silence. Or has Cassie killed him by now?
She's not that bad, is she? She's got spirit. How did you find her, anyway?
I don't know, I reply, laughing. My boss hired her, and until this, I've never really known her outside work. What about Caleb?
We were friends when we were kids, and my brother hired him, Tony confides. I've been having some bad luck, and Oliver thought Caleb could... Well, he could help me turn things around.
The more I see, the more I like Tony. He's not perfect, even if his body is, and it makes him even more attractive. He's trying to be a good man, which is so sexy to me. Gulping, looking to change the subject, I look around the little pool we found. Have you noticed it seems like every time you find what you swear is the most beautiful sight you've ever seen, you turn the corner and there's something that tops it? This place takes my breath away. Tony nods, looking around the clearing.
The waterfall's smaller than down below, but I like the way it bubbles as it hits the pool. It kind of looks like someone pouring champagne.
I giggle, laughing. Please don't say like one of those cheesy-ass champagne fountains of glasses like you see at parties. Tony laughs, shaking his head.
No, it just looks like someone is pouring champagne into a glass.
I look over, amazed at the poetry in his thoughts. Wow, you really surprise me.
Well, be prepared for another surprise,
Tony says before he suddenly pushes me back. I go tumbling into the pool, which is a lot cooler at the bottom than at the top. Thankfully, it's not that deep, and I come up sputtering. You son of a bitch! I yell at him, even as I start laughing. Why the hell did you do that? He laughs, jumping into the water near me, disappearing. The bubbling water makes it hard to see, and when he doesn't resurface, I spin around, looking. Tony? With a splash, Tony pops up behind me, grabbing me around the waist. I push away, laughing. Asshole!
What?
You know what? I laugh, splashing him with water. He splashes me back, and within seconds we're having a pretty epic water fight. Both of us soaked to the skin as we tread water. Eventually, we tire, and drift to the shallow end of the pool. I see a dark space behind the waterfall and look. Hey, what's that?
Looks like a cave, Tony says, sliding up next to me. Wanna look?
Why not? I reply, smirking. We walk through the waterfall to find the entrance to a small cave. Leading the way, I crawl through, amazed at what I see. Wow.
What?
Tony says as he comes in behind me, his voice failing as he looks around. The cave looks like it's encrusted in diamonds, and through small holes in the roof, we can see each one gleaming with every color of the rainbow. Are those? I whisper, reaching out to touch one.
Probably quartz, Tony says, then chuckles. Well, hello, one-eyed Willie.
What? I ask, thinking he's making a dick joke, but the look on his face tells me he's not. What do you mean?
This cave. It's like a miniature of that one in the old movie, The Goonies. It's a treasure cave.
You're a Goonie, I tease, and Tony laughs. He reaches out, taking me by the wrist and pulling me close.
And you're a treasure, he says softly, looking in my eyes.
Tony gives me a look that has my body burning again despite the chill in the cave. And I swallow. Tony, why'd you start working for your brother?
Tony blinks, then shrugs. After Mom and Dad broke up, Dad took Ollie with him, and I went with Mom. Ollie was groomed to take over the family company while I was just a backup plan. They had their falling out, and Ollie came home. I was glad, but at the same time, I sort of resented him for that.
Resented your brother? I ask, surprised. Why?
He was always the superstar, Tony says with a touch of bitterness. To try to stand out, I basically turned into a party boy. I wanted Dad's attention. But then when Ollie left for so long, I couldn't understand why, even after he told me. Then when he came to me for help, needing me to watch over Mom while he went on a trip with his future wife, we kind of patched things up. He's not the asshole I thought he was. So when he offered me a spot, I took it, mainly to learn what made him tick. He's my brother, and for a long while, I felt like I didn't even know him. And I mean, he makes money like I eat sandwiches. He's always been there, and I haven't. I swear, Mom started smoking because of me and my fucking up.
It seems like you turned things around, though, I say, and Tony laughs.
Like I said, I've had some bad luck on the last few gigs we've gotten into. This job, I wanted to prove that it was just that, bad luck, and not me slipping back into old habits of being careless. I'm sorry that you're the one here competing against me.
Why? I ask, and Tony pulls me closer, wrapping an arm around my waist.
Tony, because ever since I saw you at that wedding, you've been in the back of my mind. I've had a chain of failed relationships, and sure, my carelessness may have played a part in that. But I want to believe that it was because they weren't you. You're the woman I really want.
He lowers his lips, and as his lips touch mine, nothing else matters. Who's going to win or lose doesn't matter. Instead, I kiss him back. Enchanted in the glow of the crystals that surround us.
Chapter 13. Tony. The first touch of Hannah's lips sends a shock through my body like I've never felt before. We're in a cavern that looks like it was carved out by nature for just this moment. The way the crystals glitter with a rainbow of light plays across her skin as I pull her close, her wet tank top peeling away from her skin as we tug at each other's clothes. Lifting it up, I kiss her skin, the refreshing taste of the spring water, cool and electric on my tongue. Hannah leans her head back, and I kiss and suck on her throat, crushing her to my body as I relish the feeling of her breasts pushed against my chest. For all of her strength, she feels fragile. Like a hummingbird under my fingers, as I cup her ass and grind against her, my desire growing with every beat of my heart, my cock straining inside my shorts. The cave floor outside the small pool at the entrance is smooth and water-worn, and as we sink to the cool stone floor, it feels natural to kneel together, kissing and tasting each other's skin as I strip off her tank top and bra. Bending down to nibble at her breasts. Hannah moans when my tongue wraps around her right nipple, running her fingers through my hair as she gets lost in the pleasure. I suck harder, savoring the hard tip between my lips, running my tongue around and around until she's gasping. Grinning, I switch to the other side while laying her back, sucking on her breast while tugging and pinching the just abandoned nipple. Fuck. That feels so... Hannah moans before her words are lost in the whimpers and cries of pleasure. I feast on her body, stroking my hands over every inch of her stomach and legs, exploring with my touch. Her whimpers are music to my ears as our bodies press together, sliding her shorts and panties down her legs. I feel like I'm on the verge of something life-changing. You're beautiful. I murmur in the dim light of the cave as I look at Hannah's body. I mean it, too. Every curve is just the right size, every mark in just the right place, to make her even more beautiful than the inch before it. Hannah bites her lip, smiling at me. Do you have protection? I blink, stunned, and hunt in the pocket of my shorts. My wallet is soaked, but I haven't been carrying much cash recently anyways, and I'm glad that putting my wallet in my shorts is as natural as combing my hair in the morning. Pulling it open, I see inside the inner pocket a condom, still sealed in its foil wrapper. I pull it out with a triumphant smile, like I just discovered El Dorado or something. We're in luck. Hannah laughs and stretches out, her breath catching as I push my shorts down and my cock springs free. She blinks, reaching out with her hand to wrap her fingers around my stiff, throbbing dick like she's never seen anything like it before. I wrap my hand around hers and help her stroke me, showing her that the long, thick length is for real. That's it. Feel me, I whisper as I lie down, cupping Hannah's pussy and massaging her with my fingers. I rub her clit lightly with my palm, my hand tickled lightly by the trimmed dusting of hair she keeps. Moaning, she strokes my cock with a feather-like touch. Rubbing her pussy lips in small circles, I get my fingers wet before sliding two fingers inside her, finding the ridge inside her that makes her body jerk with the lightest of touches. So that's what you like. Please don't stop, Hannah whispers as I rub her clit and the spot inside her, kissing and sucking on her neck. Her body starts to tremble, and her fingers grow tighter on my cock as she starts to lose control, almost painfully tight as she grows closer. Tony, Tony, come for me, Hannah, I whisper in her ear, licking the curve of the pink shell. Show me how much you want my cock. Her hips jerk, and her back arches as she starts to come, her stomach tightening before she moans deep in her chest, her pussy squeezing my fingers. I kiss her strongly, pulling my fingers out and sliding the condom down my aching cock before turning her over. Wait, I need a minute. You're on my time now, I growl, lifting her hips and rubbing my cock all around her pussy, giving her at least a few seconds of respite. Hannah doesn't protest, moaning instead as the broad, thick head of my cock rubs over her clit, and I pull back, lining myself up. I'm tempted to slam inside in one deep, quick thrust. I want her so fucking badly. But something makes me pull back at the last second, instead going in slowly. I shiver as every tight, wet inch of Hannah's pussy wraps around my cock, our bodies joining as one. Her blonde hair hangs in strings as I pull her back onto me, groaning at the feeling of her. You're worth a year's wait. Couldn't have said it better myself. Hannah moans as I pull back and thrust again, this time harder, taking her and claiming her as mine. She gasps, squeezing her pussy around my cock as I start pumping in and out of her. My hands hold her waist tightly, not letting her move as I take her, speeding up before slowing down and pleasuring her with long, slow strokes. I grind deep inside her, letting her feel me stretch her body in ways she's never felt, and she shivers, whispering my name blindly, reaching back for me. I let go of her waist to grab her wrists, holding on as I start stroking in and out again. I don't know how much time passes. The magic atmosphere of the cave seems to make time stop as I thrust in again and again, our moans and words blurred and echoing off the walls. All I know is that my cock feels harder, longer, and fuller than it's ever been in my life. Sweat trickles down my chest and over the ridges of my stomach muscles as I begin to pound her, Hannah's ass smacking with every hard thrust. Her body shakes as we go faster and faster. so hard that I can feel the impact of our hips with every thrilling stroke of my throbbing cock deep inside her. Hannah! Yes, Tony, yes! Hannah cries, her pussy squeezing my cock again, pushing me over the edge. I pull her tight, thrusting hard one last time as I come, filling the condom as her body shakes and she cries out, our screams of orgasm harmonizing and filling the cave. I pull Hannah up, my cock still inside her as I pant, overcome with the feeling of what we've done. And no matter what, I can't let this be the only time. I have to have her again. My hand is splayed across Hannah's lower back when we return to Wesley's bamboo mansion. After our session at the falls, we went to the bank to dry out and talk before beginning the trek down. Wesley still hadn't come, and our stomachs drove us as much as the desire to spend more time with just the two of us. I'm not sure what it was, but it was like the floodgates opened with Hannah afterward. She talked to me like I was an old friend, telling me about her life, dreams, and goals in general. I swear I was hanging on to her every word on our descent, enchanted by how we're both similar and complementarily different. I really enjoyed our time together, she tells me quietly as we cross the main yard toward the huge wooden doors. It was more than I expected. Thank you, I say, taking her hand and kissing it, garnering a blush. I enjoyed it too. We walk into the living room and see Cassie chilling in a makeshift hammock, her ankle bandaged and hanging off the side. She doesn't look bothered at all, leafing through a Hawaiian tourism magazine and humming No Scrubs. Or at least that's what I think the song is. Cass, how are you feeling? Hannah asks with concern, pulling away from me to go to her side. Oh, so now you two come back, Cassie says teasingly, looking up from her magazine and fixing us with a fake scowl. Got any Trojans left in your pocket? She asks me in an accusatory tone. I could hear you two all the way down here. I chuckle, shaking my head at her ridiculousness. She's right, but there's no fucking way she heard, and I'm not a kiss-and-tell kind of guy. At least, not with Hannah. Hannah's face goes red. Seriously, how's your ankle? Cassie brushes away her worry with a gesture. It's nothing. A little bruise. Alani fixed me up good. Said if I don't put any pressure on it for the next few hours, I should be fine by tomorrow. She even hooked me up with this, and all the tropical drinks I can enjoy. It's like Vegas and Honolulu wrapped up in one. Hannah sighs in relief. Thank God. Hannah looks around. Where's Caleb? She asks suspiciously, as if summoned by the question. Caleb appears in the doorway, carrying a stack of wood, Wesley coming in behind him. Right here, he says, walking over to the side of the room and then lowering the wood to the floor with a grunt. Though I think my ears are bleeding from being yapped at the whole time down, I think I'm going deaf, he says as he grabs one ear and wiggles it, giving Cassie an amused glare. Cassie sticks her tongue out at him. Oh, shut up. You know you love me. Find me some grapes, and maybe I'll let you feed them to me, cabana boy. Caleb snorts. Oh, I'll feed you something all right, but it won't be grapes. I knew I should have abandoned you. Meanwhile, Wesley gives us an evaluating look, sizing us up and seeing us all eager to see who won. It's a tie. You each get 1 point. Disappointment flows across Hannah's face while Cassie whines. Aw, man, that sucks. But I'll take it. It's better than a loss. Hannah glares at her. You'd really complain when I did all the work? Cassie nods. Being carried down the mountain by this sweaty, muscly jerk was a pain in the ass. Literally. He kept bouncing me. I think he just liked feeling my tits rub against his back. Okay. Screw abandoning you. I should have dropped you on your head, Caleb retorts. I have to laugh at the shenanigans. Caleb and Cassie are intent on needling each other, and the longer it goes on, the longer I can see that they're engaged in a game of one-upmanship. So, tell me about the hike, Wesley says, peering at us with interest. What was your favorite part? Hannah looks at me and blushes fiercely. We both know damn well what our favorite part was. And just remembering exploring her body makes my blood run hot. Being inside her in that beautiful sacred space was what dreams are made of. Hannah mumbles, at a loss for words, her face flaming. And that's exactly how she sounded while she was up there with her arms around Anthony, Cassie accuses. Cookie Monster. Caleb bursts out laughing, but I pretend not to notice, clearing my throat and recounting our finding the cave and everything else. Minus the hot sex, of course. Wesley is silent when I'm done, digesting my words. Finally, he speaks. So you both experienced the remarkableness of nature. What was the most beautiful? Hannah was. I'm shocked as the words leave my lips of their own volition, and silence fills the room. Hannah is staring at me in open-mouthed shock. Shit! That was supposed to be in my head. I can't believe I just said that. My admission doesn't seem to shock Wesley, though, and he smiles at me. Maybe the magic of the land has found a home in you after all. He studies me quietly, and for some reason I feel uncomfortable in his peaceful gaze. After a moment, he looks at us all. Go rest, and change into something more relaxing. Bowing his head, he leaves the room, and I'm left with Hannah's still shocked but touched eyes, Cassie's mischievous smirk, and Caleb's accusatory glare. Great. Now everybody fucking knows what happened up there.
Chapter 14. Hannah.
What happened? Cassie demands as we go back to our room so I can change out of my damp clothes.
I'm grateful for Caleb's help again with getting her up the stairs. He's actually a gentleman when it counts and didn't mind carrying her. It saved me at least 10 seconds of questions. That time's over now as she hops over to the bed on one leg, plopping down with a sigh.
And don't tell me nothing, either. You had a smile as wide as my ass when you walked through the door.
That's not very wide, but heaven is what happened, I think as I remember our passionate encounter. It's been over an hour and goosebumps are still all over my body. I laugh, shaking my head, though I know the glow I'm exuding has to be a huge red flag.
Nothing happened, I lie. Sure, we flirted, but it was all part of the game. The only fucking that went on was with Tony's head.
I pull off my soggy shirt and toss it in the bin, feeling sore as hell from the hike and the mind-blowing sex. And the crazy part is, I still want more. 2 times? As good as it felt with Tony, I'd have been willing to let him make me come 20 times. Cassie looks like she doesn't believe me, and I understand. I wouldn't believe it either.
How's your ankle feeling? I ask, trying to change the subject. I'm a terrible liar.
Cassie scowls.
Oh, hell no, miss. I'm the most beautiful thing Tony saw today. Don't try to change the subject.
She leans forward and sniffs like she's a bloodhound.
I can practically smell him all over you. You dirty little slut, you.
That's probably your upper lip you're smelling, I say offhandedly, taking off my pants.
Maybe someone got a pain-relieving hot beef injection from Caleb on the way back? Oh, hell no. Don't make me go get Momo, she threatens. You know she and I aren't messing around.
I laugh. You're a total nut.
And you're a... Cassie's cut off by the ringtone on my cell, and I pick it up to see who it is.
It's Myra. Oh, now she wants an update? Anxiety twists my stomach as I answer the call.
How's the competition coming along?
Myra asks. Before I can answer, she drones on.
Everyone's getting antsy. They're worried about securing the property. After running the numbers, they say this thing's too huge to lose. Please tell me you girls have got this thing in the bag.
The panic in her voice causes my heart rate to speed up, and I admonish myself for letting my focus slip, even if I do want to do it all over again. My mouth runs dry, and I suddenly feel a huge weight on my shoulders. I part my lips to reply before closing them, unsure of what to say.
Myra will flip out if I tell her things aren't going too well. Even worse if I tell her I slept with Tony.
Good, I say finally, trying to inject enthusiasm in my voice with sweat beading my brow. We're doing awesome! I give her a quick rundown of what Wesley has us doing, not letting on that we're still 2 points down after this morning, and I have no idea how many games Wesley has left in his little bag of party favors.
Thank God!
Myra exclaims, her voice awash with relief. I knew I could count on you. What did he say when you presented our offer? Any idea of when he'll make a decision?
Well, he took our offer and the contract paperwork, but didn't let me discuss it with him. Just said he'd read over it. I'm not sure on his deadline, but it can't last much beyond the end of the week, I tell her. But he hasn't told us everything. He seems to like to spring things on us unexpectedly. Like I said, things are looking good and we're doing our best, but it's going to be close.
I don't care about close, I care about you closing this deal. Make sure he reads the offer thoroughly. Go over it with him personally if you can.
I nod, wishing I felt more confident than I sound.
We've got this under control here. Listen, I gotta go. I'll talk with you tomorrow. I hang up the phone, not knowing how to feel. I just lied to my boss, and I feel conflicted and confused. Tony needs this too, just for more personal reasons.
I can't believe you just did that,
Cassie says, looking at me like I've committed a cardinal sin.
You totally lied to her.
I didn't know what else to do, I say. What should I have done? Tell her the truth that we're down with who knows how many chances left?
But there's a chance we're gonna lose. How's she gonna react then if we don't pull this off? How can we win when you're sleeping with the enemy?
Her words cause my skin to prick. Is that what I'm doing? Sleeping with the enemy? Well, when the enemy can make me feel like he does. Damn it, I'll gladly sleep with him.
I am not, I object, my cheeks turning red. Technically, I'm not lying. We haven't slept together yet.
Besides, Wesley doesn't seem like he's going to go strictly by the numbers anyway. I think my passing up the blue flower today is what salvaged us a point. We definitely need to be at our best for the challenges, and that means not fraternizing with Tony and Caleb. I've got to find a way to discuss the actual offer with him, too. We need to figure out how to direct this deal back to the business of selling, not just the games, even if they are fun. We're not on vacation here.
There's a now familiar soft knock at the door. It's Alani. My husband wants to see you in the main room in 15 minutes.
We nod, and she leaves, closing the door gently behind her. I sigh and change clothes quickly, pulling on dry underwear, some new shorts, and a t-shirt. I also put on the Nikes I packed, knowing with Wesley I need to be prepared for anything.
I like it here, but always being in the dark is starting to feel less like an adventure and more like a joke on us.
Cassie grumbles, rolling over and pulling on socks and shoes. She stands up, wincing, but eventually nodding.
Just make sure I don't faceplant.
Knowing my luck, we're going to be doing a 3-legged race over a crocodile-infested lagoon. We go down to the main room, and once again I'm struck by how peaceful Wesley's home is. There are mats laid out in rows, and the breeze is trickling through the windows, cooling the room and making it even airier. Wes smiles when he sees us, and applauds Cassie as she limps in, a determined set to her eyes.
Come in, free spirits of our wonderful world. I must seem like such a bad host, making you always arrive second.
I smile, looking around the place until my eyes meet Tony's. Like a flash, the connection we had at the waterfall is back, and it's like I'm looking inside his mind. It's so strong, I almost feel like we have telepathy. I remind myself of the conversation I just had with Myra, and tear my eyes away as Wesley continues.
I understand you're sore and tired, so this afternoon I've decided to lead you all in some guided meditation. Before you start to worry about your ankle, Cassie, the practice is not meant to stress your body, but to help it reconnect with the restorative powers of nature and the healing power within yourself. We all share a connection, just like how each of the Hawaiian Islands share a common base underneath the waters of the Pacific. This isn't a challenge, just something for us to do as one.
He goes over to the mat at the front of the room and spreads his hands, indicating for us to sit. I glance at Cassie,
who nods, and we all arrange ourselves on the mats. As we do, I notice that Tony and I are seated next to each other, with Cassie and Caleb on our outsides. I feel heat creep up my neck as Tony glances over, and I hurriedly work on taking off my shoes and socks. "Is Momo going to be joining us?" I have to ask as I undo my knot. "I saw yoga with baby goats on YouTube. Adorable, but, don't get me wrong, but she isn't as quite as cute as a baby goat." Wesley smiles and shoos Momo away.
"No, she won't be joining us today."
She leaves the shoulder and flies over to stand in the corner, where I see there's a small cup of seeds for her.
"She'll be preoccupied for a while."
I sit down cross-legged, swallowing as I force myself to keep my eyes on Wesley, and not on Tony, and put my hands on my knees. I've been to a few yoga classes before. I want to be respectful to Wesley, even if this isn't a challenge. I realize with a start that, even more than Wesley, I want to be respectful to this place, which with every breath means more and more to me.
"Now, imagine yourself as a pure ball of energy, and think about how everything around you is also energy. Reach out with your mind, and look for that connection with the air, the water, the trees, and the earth itself around you."
Wesley takes a deep breath, a soft smile coming to his face.
"Please, everyone, concentrate. Feel the earth, the wind, the water, and the sun around you. Feel the network of threads creating a web containing all that exists. The sun warms the earth, making the plants which we and the animals eat, giving us energy which we return to the earth."
I try to focus on Wesley's words, but the only energy I can think of is Tony's. My mind flashes back to the magical glow in the small cavern, and how his hands caused my body to come alive. I imagine his hands caressing my body now, making me feel like a new person. Forget becoming one with nature. I'm becoming one with Tony.
"Anna,"
a voice says, followed by an annoying squawk.
"Big booty ho!"
I barely hear either voice, my mind on Tony and how his cock felt in my hand, and how he felt with his fingers inside me. But I'm forced to open my eyes when Cassie complains loudly.
"Okay, I can't concentrate with Cookie Monster moaning and groaning over here."
"Cookie Monster!"
Momo squawks. Heat burns my cheeks. I'm so embarrassed. I had no idea I was moaning. I clear my throat, trying not to look at him. Then everyone will know who I was moaning about. "Sorry," I say. I thought we were supposed to be oming. I was getting really into it.
"Oh, you were into it, all right," Cassie mutters.
"Quiet, ladies,"
Wesley scolds us, irritation in his voice.
"Close your eyes and focus. Concentrate."
Looking at Wesley, I can see he's trying to do something genuine here. Sucking in a deep breath, I close my eyes and try my hardest to concentrate. I listen as Wesley has his focus inward, trying to shut off our minds. It's hard, though, and Cassie grumbles.
"It's like a convention going on in my head."
"Then like a convention hall, try to focus on one voice," Wesley says quietly. "I want you all to focus on your dreams, your future. Build in your mind that one image, the thing you want most in your future."
I take a deep breath, breathing along with Wesley as I try to focus. But still, it's all so staticky.
"That's because you're trying to force it," Wesley says. "Don't think. Feel. Let it go. Let it flow over you."
I try again, and as the minutes pass, I'm aware of a growing presence next to me. Tony. In my mind, I don't see myself winning the competition. I don't see myself living in a penthouse or driving a fancy car, or with millions of dollars. I see Tony. I see him. Few laugh lines in his face, a little bit of softness to his chiseled abs, but a look in his eyes that still burns with more warmth and love than I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh my God.
"That's good," Wesley says, clapping his hands lightly.
"Now, I won't ask you to reveal what you saw in your mind. Just reflect.
and I'll see you in a few hours. I hope you feel more refreshed. This evening will be more recovery for you.
He gets up quietly and leaves, the four of us following behind him. I don't say anything, forcing myself to look down and not face the question that's tearing through my brain. How am I supposed to win this competition when I'm starting to have feelings for my opponent?
Chapter 15. Anthony. After we finish the meditation session, my body feels relaxed, even as my mind whirls. I've spent the last 30 minutes trying to clear my thoughts, to let it happen, like Wesley said. Instead, the whole time, my thoughts keep going to Hannah, feeling her presence next to me. I had to stop myself from reaching out to take her hand. So while my body is ready for whatever we're going to do next, my mind is a jumble of thoughts, most of them about how much I want Hannah. I keep feeling the pulse of our hearts as we were in the lagoon, how she looked in the sunlight, both before we went in the cave and after. Most of all, I remember how she felt, how soft her skin was, how her eyes widened the first time I slipped my fingers inside her. I remember what my orgasm felt like, and how I wish there wasn't a condom to get in the damn way. I'm surprised I'm not tenting my shorts like a teenage Boy Scout at this point. "Meet outside after dinner," Wesley says, getting to his feet. "I'm going to be introducing you to the clearinghouse before bed." "The clearinghouse?" Hannah asks, getting her shoes on. She glances at me, and I can see the way her t-shirt molds perfectly to her body, my mouth going dry again in an instant. "What are we clearing?" "You'll be clearing yourselves," Wesley replies. "It's special to me. It's a place meant for the cleansing of both mind and body." "Wash your ass," Momo screeches. Although for a moment there, I thought the bird said, "Watch your ass." Good advice either way. Wesley leaves with a smile, ignoring Caleb, who keeps trying to stammer another question. Cassie follows him out, saying something about how she's glad she doesn't have to listen to Cookie Monster anymore. Hannah shakes her head, and after a glance my way, she leaves the room. I want to follow her, but I control the urge. "Any idea what the fuck he's talking about?" Caleb asks as we leave and go back to our room. "Any company I've ever worked for, he'd be out on his ass after failing a piss test, I'm sure of it. And the bird thing is just... shiver me timbers," Caleb jokes as he covers an eye with his hand as a makeshift patch. I laugh at him. "Actually, in some ways, I like the bird. It gives him character." "I don't know," Caleb counters. "Cindy Crawford having a mole gives her character. The Rock having a bionic eyebrow gives him character. Wesley Mobber having a foul-mouthed parrot that uses his shoulder as a perch for most of the day just means he's probably got a lot of parrot shit in that hair of his." We both laugh. "I know you think he's..." The ringing of my phone interrupts my thought, but seeing that it's Oliver, I answer. In the background, I can hear babies crying and Mindy singing to them, trying to calm them down. While she's not bad, Roxy definitely inherited the singing genes in the family. "Hey, what's the progress?" "Consider it handled," I say simply. Oliver doesn't need to know about what Hannah and I got up to. I had enough problems dealing with Caleb's looks during our break. We're winning his games, but he hasn't said how many there are. "That's good fucking news," he exults. I can hear Mindy saying something to him and he chuckles. "Sorry, honey. You're right." "What is she saying?" I ask, smirking. "She's not happy," he says. "With both my language and also... she's been talking to Roxy about all of this. She thinks someone's going to get hurt with Hannah being practically family and friend." "Then what do you want to do?" "Just do your best, but be fair. We'll figure something out to make it right if you win," Oliver says. "Call me if anything changes. I've got to go give Mindy a hand." Oliver says farewell, and after he hangs up, I let out a sigh. Mindy's right. Someone could get hurt. "What was that for?" Caleb asks. "Never in all my life have I seen someone so sad to be winning? I would have thought you'd be ecstatic. If it were anyone besides Hannah, I would be happy. But the thrill of winning and competition is starting to fade away, replaced by a need to see Hannah smile, to hear her softly call my name as I kiss every inch of her body. It's being replaced with a need to have her with me, to make her mine. I can't tell Caleb that, though. He wouldn't understand. I just want this to be over. Hopefully this cleansing or whatever we're doing works. I need a total mind wipe, and the meditation wasn't working one bit. I kept focusing on how my little toe was falling asleep. Caleb chuckles. Yeah, I know what you mean. Me? I'm hoping it's like those bathhouses. Some nice girls who know how to give a great lomi-lomi massage and a very happy ending. I can't help it. I laugh. You're a pervert, you know that? I'm just kidding, man. You know I'm not like that. Dinner is, for the first time since we got here, very quiet. I try to keep my eyes off Hannah while we eat, but it's impossible, especially as she starts giving me glances, too. My body is tingling, my cock growing in my shorts, and a burning ball of something I'm not ready to acknowledge in my gut. After a quick washing up, we meet outside. The sun is setting, and I'm reminded just how late sunsets are in summer. The girls change during their prep time, both of them wearing bikini tops and light skirts, while Caleb and I are wearing tropical weight shirts and cargo shorts. Just the sight of Hannah has my blood boiling and my mouth watering. She snaps a few photos of Cassie striking a pose in the sunset, but the one being photographed should be her. "Follow me," Wesley says, heading off in the twilight. The girls stay in front this time, close to Wesley, while Caleb and I hang in the back. Caleb is enjoying the evening breeze while I'm trying not to spend the whole walk staring at Hannah's ass. We turn at the road, wrapping around past the village and up the side of what I think is the same mountain we climbed this morning, just the other side. As we get closer, I see what looks like a Japanese-style bathhouse, except that the roof is thatched. Welcome to the clearinghouse. Wesley leads us up a stone path, and as we get closer, I can smell the unmistakable scent of volcanic waters. It's not the stench of sulfur, but the rich mineral scent of something else. Hot springs? Very good, Wesley says with a small smile. We reach the front door, which slides open to reveal a beautifully organic wood-paneled room, and the scent coming from them is rich and heady. It's like a small, beautifully decorated spa, with flowers growing in pots and bonsai trees and alcoves along the walls. There are two curtains, and down the halls for each, I see what looks like rooms for massage tables and more. Sadly for Caleb, I don't see any cute spa attendants. Alani named this place for me when it was built, Wesley says, turning to us with a smile. To her, it became a place of purification, of cleansing and cleaning. So she named it after the ancient temple near Halualoa. So, welcome to Pu'u Honua. This will give you a chance to clear your body of toxins, and a chance to cleanse your spirit as well. Enjoy the cleansing offered freely by the baths. Let it wash away your worries, and open your mind and heart to a path pure in its creation, from the very waters that spring from deep within the island. Through the curtains, you'll find changing areas, towels, and showers. It's tradition that you shower first, then go to the steam rooms naked. Naked? Hannah gulps, and Wesley nods. She gives me a look, then nods. What about Lomi Lomi? Caleb asks, and Wesley chuckles. What? I could use a rub down after hauling Cassie's butt down the hill. She weighs a ton, he exaggerates. That can be arranged. I know Alani's sister is quite skilled, Wesley says. But I hear she's a little forceful. Now it's Caleb's turn to gulp, and I have to snicker. Wesley chuckles too and points. Now, ladies to this hallway, and men to this one. I give Hannah a look. She bites her lip as she looks at me. We both know what we want. But with everyone else here, there's nothing that we can do about it. Instead, I follow Caleb through the blue curtain and into the changing area, which is already warm as I strip down. The two of us walk through the connecting door to the shower room, which is a lot hotter than the changing room. Fuck, it's hot, Caleb says, already red-faced and sweating. If the shower room's like this, what the fuck is the steam room supposed to be like? We're about to find out, I say, as we finish a quick rinse and head to the steam room, which isn't as bad as I thought it would be. It's nowhere near as humid. We settle in on the fragrant wooden lounge chairs that are there for us, and I sigh, feeling my muscles start to unknot, and for a few long minutes we're silent. It smells like apples, of all things. Finally, Caleb breaks the silence. So what are you thinking about all this? What did Ollie say this morning? He's as surprised as we are about the whole thing. He's a pro, though. Said to do my best, be honest and fair. And of course, he's expecting me to win Wes over. It's just... I let out a big sigh. Caleb gives me a side eye. You're a good guy, Tony. You've had a couple of bad deals lately, but you always do your best. When he brought me on for this, he told me that he's proud of you, how far you've come, and how fast you're learning. I think you might be a little distracted right now, though. Not that I blame you. I sputter. I'm not distracted. As I push a hand through my hair, knowing that I'm lying to myself as much as I am to Caleb. Really? So, I've been meaning to ask, what went down up there on the hike after we left? A better question would be to ask if you enjoyed carrying Cassie back, I ask, evading the question. Caleb grunts and shifts around a little. That girl is lucky I didn't drop her and keep on my merry way. Dude, she's got a mouth on her. I laugh, enjoying the feeling. I haven't been laughing enough recently. Are you saying you're not attracted to her? Caleb shakes his head, chuckling. She's cute, but our banter just feels like it comes from a different place than that. Like there's no real sexual tension attached. She thinks she can get away with shit just because she's got that young and innocent look about her. If I were really into her, I'd bend her over my knee and spank her. Caleb goes quiet for a moment when I don't respond, then sighs. Fuck, it's so hot in here. I can't handle this sauna shit. I'm gonna find out what these recovery gardens are. You gonna hang out in here a while longer? He stares at me as I climb to my feet and head back toward the shower area. Where are you going? The recovery gardens, or whatever he called them, are the other way. I shake my head, opening the sliding door. I have to go take care of something first. I'll be there soon. I step through, closing the door. I hear him muttering something, but the closing door obscures it. Wrapping a towel around my waist, I head to the other hallway. I find the girls' sauna room. Their space is laid out a little different from ours. I knock on the wood door. There's a sharp cry of surprise, and Cassie, her face covered in some sort of green goop, sticks her head out. What the hell are you doing here? There's someone who is expecting you in the recovery gardens, I lie, jerking my thumb over my shoulder. Something about his back needing a massage for carrying you? Cassie stares at me, ignoring the fact that I'm in just a towel. Seriously? I wouldn't touch him if he was the last dick on earth. I snort, giving her a smile. Yeah, well, it's not the last one on earth, but I'm sure he's willing to give you a nice massage in return as a thank you. Her eyes flash. Caleb's going to kill me, but this is more than worth it. Well, since you put it that way, I guess I can go keep him company, as long as I get mine first. Cassie's head disappears back into the room, and I hear her talking. I'm going to go rock someone's world to the point he'll want to be my love slave. Oh, and you've got a visitor. Cassie comes out a moment later, her face freshly scrubbed, and a towel wrapped firmly around her upper body, and walks off. I chuckle, taking a deep breath to calm my nerves before I open the door. As I reach for the handle, I hear Cassie on the other side talking loudly to Caleb. Yeah, I'm back. I hear you're ready to give me a massage, but no funny business. I shake my head. She is a trip. Then I walk in. My breath stops in my throat as I see Hannah, sitting on one of the wooden lounge chairs. No spa mask, but her body also wrapped in a towel. I guess they both decided to ignore Wesley's rules. Hannah's legs look long and beautiful as she sits up, my cock hardening underneath my own towel as I imagine what treasures lie underneath.